The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
And Sirius XM Channel 80. You know, what do you say on Memorial Day, right? You don't say happy Memorial Day, obviously not. We are remembering today those who made the ultimate sacrifice for the American dream, as people like to say, for our freedom. And yet, people have the day off today. It's a national holiday, federal holiday, and people are off work. And usually it's right around the time the weather gets nice and people are kind of caught, you know, like you want to recognize it somehow and recognize the seriousness of it and also hope that people are, you know, enjoying the time off. Can you say that? At any rate, NBA playoffs in full swing, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. And the reason I bring that up is because since we're not simulcast today, after First Take, I have a studio set up, you know, at the crib, came home to do the radio show, and my daughters are all off of school, and they ordered donuts, and I haven't fallen off the wagon in, I don't know, 3 weeks now. I've been getting back in shape, getting, you know, the social distancing weight off. I just had two glazed donuts with my lunch. First time I fell off the wagon. It's hard. And then right before I was about to come on the air, they start blasting. Someone discovered a Biggie Smalls remix, and they started blasting it. And I said, what are you doing? I'm about to go on the air. We're making a music video. No, I'm about to go on the... I don't know. Kids home from school and someone trying to get work done is not a good combination. How did people do it during social distancing? Who had to work out of the house and the kids were there. I guess I was one of those people. I can't even remember. All right, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. There's so much NBA to get into. I got Rick Fox coming up in a couple minutes. So I want to get through all these games, and I'm going to circle back to the Lakers with Rick Fox. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Remember Unbreakable? Sam Jackson, Bruce Willis. And spoiler alert, he figures out he's the bad guy at the end, Sam Jackson does. I should have known. It was the kids. They called me Mr. Glass. One of the all-time great moments in cinema history, I always thought. That's AD. AD is Mr. Glass. I hate to say he's a great player. It's not his fault. You know, it's not like, well, if he was just tougher. I don't think, I mean, maybe Cal Ripken Jr. was tougher than Eric Davis, going back to the 80s kids, baseball players. But you know, some of that has to do with the way Cal Ripken Jr.'s, you know, ligaments and joints were put together compared to Eric Davis. Eric Davis is a fantastic center fielder. He's always hurt. And Cal Ripken Jr. was the Iron Man, you know, broke Lou Gehrig's consecutive games played record. There are dudes in the NBA who may or may not be tougher than AD, but boy, they're built tougher. AD comes down a non-contact injury, really, groin re-injured. Had to come out of the game. And as soon as he did, the Lakers, it was a close game. I think the Lakers were a little up when he came out. But at that point, the Suns just blew by and never looked back. AD's got to get back. Got to get back on the court if the Lakers have a chance of getting out. They do not have a chance of winning this series if AD doesn't get back, provided Chris Paul does, because Chris Paul has toughed it out and was very effective last night. Here's LeBron James at the post-game presser addressing the adjustments without AD.
Well, obviously you have a game plan going into a game, how you want to execute offensively and defensively. And, you know, the one thing that you can't predict if one of your, you know, focal points go down. And obviously, you know, that was big for our team, and being able to try to adjust on the fly after having a game plan was challenging for us. And but more importantly, you know, the health of AD is what's most important for our ball club.
That was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Meantime, on the other side, Chris Paul, you know, they weren't, Monty Williams wasn't going to play him. And Chris Paul, well, listen, take it straight from the horse's mouth. This is how Chris Paul talked him out of it. This is Chris Paul at the post-game press conference.
Just understand it was an afternoon game, and I have a couple more days of rest. That's the only way they say I can treat what's going on is to by resting. And so I'm just glad that me and Coach got the relationship where we can have that conversation. And we talked about it. I told the guys, I said, I don't know if it'll be 2 minutes. I don't know if it'll be 32 minutes, but I feel like I got to try to give you what I got.
And he did. And by the way, a lot is at stake for Chris Paul here. When you think about the great, Chris Paul is on one conference finals, has made one conference finals appearance in his entire career. He's been a great player and has played on a lot of really talented teams. And by the way, credited as being a leader and this clutch guy, and he is all those things. At some point, can you make a deep finals run on your team? Because the one time he made the conference finals, that was if you had to list in order of importance the human beings involved in that franchise's success, it would be, you know, top three are James Harden, Mike D'Antoni, Daryl Morey. That was the Rockets. And then Chris Paul. And Chris Paul came and went, and Russell Westbrook. But those three guys, that was a James Harden team. That was a Mike D'Antoni, Daryl Morey team. That wasn't a Chris Paul team. He was a player on that team. And they got, by the way, maybe they win. I think they do win the championship if he doesn't get hurt. It's tough luck, and the fact that he's only 6 feet tall in a sport, you know, of giants, right? And he plays all out. Okay, so he didn't get to play, but still, that's the only time he's made even a conference finals. Look, Steve Nash has been there on a team led by him. Isaiah Thomas won two championships where he was the best player on the team. I'm talking about short point guards now. Steph Curry's won multiple championships, although never really when he was the best player on the team, except for one where LeBron's guys got hurt. But still, at least you get to the conference finals as the best player on the team. John Stockton, two finals appearances. You know, yes, he had Karl Malone, but he was certainly one of the two leaders on that team. This is a Chris Paul team now. Devin Booker might be the best player on the team, but it's a Chris Paul team. He's got to make a run. If AD is hurt, it hurts Chris Paul to not knock the Lakers out. If Chris Paul gets knocked out in the first round on this squad with a hurt AD, but here's the thing, I'm still picking the Lakers to win in seven. And this is my thinking. If AD is that compromised, he should not play game five. Now, let's say they hold him out game five and the Lakers lose that game. But now he has the better part of a week to get right by the time they play game six altogether between games four and six. Right? Now, more than half the week goes by. Now he's playing a game six. And if AD can give you 80% of himself, I say the Lakers don't go out like that. They win a game six. It's going to come down to a game seven. Give me the LeBron James team in a game seven. By the way, Celtics fan, you know, you would think that the fans would behave themselves. Kyrie talking about the subtle racism in Boston, going back and playing there. Now, of course, he inflames passions when he, you know, steps on the logo disrespectfully. Not that that's an excuse for fans to behave this way, but everyone's on alert. Fans getting indefinite suspensions for spitting on players, for throwing popcorn on players. This dude throws a water bottle at Kyrie. And now he could get prosecuted. What the hell is going on? Kevin Durant had the best response to this situation. I want you to listen to KD at the post-game press conference.
Fans got to grow up at some point. I know that being in the house for a year and a half with the pandemic got a lot of people on edge, got a lot of people stressed out. But when you come to these games, you got to realize, man, these men are human. You know, we not animals. We not in a circus. You coming to the game is not all about you as a fan. So have some respect for the game. Have some respect for these human beings. And have some respect for yourself. Your mother wouldn't be proud of you throwing water bottles at basketball players or spitting on players or tossing popcorn. So grow the f*** up and enjoy the game. You know, it's bigger than you.
I actually thought it was perfect up till he cursed. Like, it's not a big deal, but, like, he had the high road, boy. Grow the expletive up, maybe he didn't need, but I get it. But that was so beautifully put by KD. We're not in a circus. We're human beings. And the key to me was have some self-respect. Your mother would not be proud of you throwing stuff at basketball players. KD said it, boy. Kyrie, by the way, weighed in. And he was the guy who got the water bottle thrown at him. Listen to Kyrie.
it's unfortunate, you know, that sports has come to a lot of this, you know, kind of crossroads where you're seeing a lot of old ways come up. It's been that way in history in terms of entertainment, performers, and sports for a long period of time, of just underlying racism and just treating people like they're in a human zoo, you know, throwing stuff at people, saying things. You know, there's a certain point where it just gets to be too much. So, you know, I called it out. I just wanted to keep it strictly basketball, and then you just see that people just feel very entitled out here. You know, they pay for the tickets, great. I'm grateful that they're coming in to watch a great performance, but it's just, you know, we're not at the theater. We're not throwing tomatoes and other random stuff at the people that are performing. You know, it's just, it's too much. And it's a reflection on, you know, us as a whole when you have fans acting like that. So, you know, hopefully people learn their lessons from being banned for however many years of being arrested, but, you know, it's always going to be an occasion.
Yeah, Kyrie's right. It's not just we're not at the theater. We're not at the theater 100 years ago. Not at the theater 100 years ago. And by the way, fan behavior by and large has gotten better, in fact, not worse in my experience. We just correctly have a lower tolerance for that. And Stephen A. brought up on First Take that I think he's right. When Molly asked the question, this is related to athlete empowerment, player empowerment, which probably related to racial empowerment. But athletes don't want to be treated like objects. They want to be treated like people. On the Goodyear Hotline, by the way, we have a lot more to get into still. The Knicks and the Hawks. By the way, the Clippers. Now it looks like they got control of the series. Lots to get into still. But on the Goodyear Hotline right now, my man, Rick Fox, former multiple-time Laker champion, of course, and NBA analyst. Rick!
Back. Happy Memorial Day weekend, my friend.
Well, yes, yes. I know you're not supposed to say happy Memorial Day weekend. We need to recognize why we have Memorial Day weekend, but the fact is most people have the day off. Rick, fans who throw stuff at players...
Yeah, I say happy, Max, because I am so appreciative of being in this country, mm-hmm. and knowing that there's so many men and women that have sacrificed to make this country so great. And so I try to celebrate them, mm-hmm. and that's where the happiness comes from.
Yeah, listen, and plus we're in this gotcha culture now where everyone's listening. Yeah. Wait, is he saying anything that I could somehow make a stupid tweet about to get like a little 5-second shot of righteous indignation? Everyone calm down. Rick Fox.
Good point.
Look, if you throw something at a player, Rick Fox, you're going to jail, right? I mean, like, what is going on with the fans right now, you think, Rick?
I think tension in general has been high for a while, being bottled up in our homes, and also discussing race at a high level. As so much of our country has been in a racial kind of debate for a long-standing time, but more importantly, really hot right now the last year. So I think just in general that topic is on the forefront of everyone's mind, and actually in general the actions and the voices have gotten louder. The lack of tolerance for anything that is racially insensitive is really, really right on the edge.
We're connecting race to it, Rick, and I understand that a lot. Usually it's a white fan throwing something at a black dude, but it's also just, to me, like the guy who threw the water bottle at Kyrie is wearing a Garnett jersey, right? That doesn't mean that person's not racist because he has a Garnett jersey on, but the way I read that situation was Kyrie stomps on rubs his feet on the logo. He's talking about Boston coming in. A Celtic fan who's rocking a Garnett jersey probably thinking, now that's a true Celtic. You know, he won and he stayed here and he didn't abandon us, didn't disrespect us. Feels like he's justified throwing something at him. But I do think that there's some racial insensitivity there at the very least where, come on, dude, you're throwing it at, you gotta see the big picture. Is there anything else the NBA can do, Rick? Like, they're suspending guys. They're not law. Like, they can't jail people. They can't prosecute people. But do you think there's anything else the NBA could be doing right now?
I do not see it. There's hope for it. I hope there's a bridge that can be built between fans and players, where a respect for the moment together in a shared arena under, you know, under a game we all love can be appreciated, and there can be respect. But I mean, outside of expelling a fan, I mean, the fan can go to a different arena and watch that same player at a different place. I just think there's just a level of respect that has been lost. In my day, it was the same. I mean, I had things thrown at me. I had interactions with fans outside of the arena that weren't pleasant. But we aren't property. You know, we are there to do a job, but we are not there to be, you know, abused in any way. And that's been a part of the game, but it seems with so much social media and so much visibility and eyeballs on everything, you know, that's done on both sides of the table now, both fans and players, the scrutiny has escalated and the visibility of it is being pointed out and being addressed by the players first before, you know, the league or the arena or individuals in other areas are capturing it and putting it to and stopping and putting it to rest.
Now, Rick, I want to get into the NBA with you right now. And the reason you're I wanted to talk to you today about this is everyone knows Rick Fox, the pretty boy, but you were a tough guy. And you were also, when you look at the coaches, and you and I have hosted radio together in the past, when you look at the coach, and we've spoken off camera and stuff, if you look at the coaches who were interested in having you on their team recruited you, from Dean Smith to Red Auerbach to Phil Jackson, you know, it says something about the kind of toughness you had and the kind of championship medal, a guy who could drop 15 a game over the course of a season but didn't care about his numbers and would do whatever was asked of him to win a championship in a different situation. So I want to ask you about LeBron and AD right now. Do you think that AD needs to, is this just like a genetic thing? Like he's just tall and lanky and is hurt easily. Does he need to get mentally tougher in terms of dealing with the injury? Do you think he can come back and play at this in this series? And at what level? Is this the kind of thing he can will himself through to show true greatness? Like, what's your take on LeBron, AD, and the Lakers right now?
Yeah, it's a choice. I mean, for me, when I look at the situation, it is really a choice of placing yourself out there on that floor through you know, pain and injury. And I don't know the injury situation to the degree at which he can or can't play. I was watching the game in general, even the Nets-Brooklyn series yesterday, and I was noticing, you know, different players being out, individuals in series where to me at this time of year, and, you know, you only get so many options to play for a championship and to fight for a championship, and to see you know, anyone sit out. In from my era, it was different. I mean, you played through whatever discomfort you may be feeling. You actually played with injury at times because you know no one's 100% anymore at this stage in the season, and it's just a matter of, you know, are you protecting yourself for the future when nothing is promised? Or are you really actually, you know, of the mindset that win at all costs, put yourself out there, you know, the game, no one leaves the game without, you know, without injury, no one leaves the game. I mean, if that was the case, I'd still be playing. You know, the game in a series in the first round back in 2003 series, I ruptured the tendon of my foot. I went out there because I wanted to be out there with my teammates. I wanted to be out there fighting for a chance to move on. And I didn't expect to get hurt, but you get hurt, you know. And so it is mind over matter in that situation. It's how mentally strong can you be to block those things out, block out the way you feel, put yourself out there on the floor knowing that the game is at the end of the day, you know, it's going to get you at some point. So trying to prevent the inevitable is not going to happen.
So, given that, Chris Paul seems to have willed himself back to some kind of like level of productivity. Now, given AD's injury in a knotted series, who wins Lakers Suns Rick Fox?
Well, look, you got KCP out, you got AD out. I mean, the personnel for the Lakers, key players dropping, or being out for a game or two here, it gives the edge, I think, the swing to the Suns. And you bring up Chris Paul, who I'm watching now, who is at some point being asked to sit or being told maybe he's not, he shouldn't be in the game. He's not 100%. He can hurt the team by playing injured. But, man, I'm telling you, Chris is running out of time, right? Chris is looking at this going, this is my opportunity to actually, win a championship. And so he's putting it on the line. And so I respect that when I see that, because that's really giving the game back what it's given you at a cost that, at the end of the day, we've seen Chris get hurt before in playoff series and not have a chance to go to the finals. I've seen that. But he knows these moments are valuable, so he's actually willing to risk being out there.
Rick, thank you very much for coming on, brother. Been a long time. I don't live in L.A. anymore, unfortunately. So
No, man. We miss you out here, man.
Yeah. Well, I miss it there, too. I'd love to say it was the people, but, Rick, it's the weather. It's the weather. Yeah, you find people everywhere. Yeah. It's the weather, Rick. Oh, it's killing me.
Yes, it is. It is beautiful today here.
The great Rick Fox, ladies and gentlemen. Much obliged, Rick. Thanks for jumping on.
All right, brother. Thanks, man.
So that was Rick Fox on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear more driven. I got something to tell you about. People look at AD. Is that something like you can overcome with a state of mind? I don't know, but I have something to say about that. Have the Clippers eased all concerns? Went from they're about to get swept to they're going to win four straight? It's time for some straight talk. Sure, saving money feels good, but cutting your wireless bill in half, that feels really good. Like walk-off home run in the ninth inning, good. Maybe not that good, but pretty good. With Straight Talk, you can get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys, plus no contract, all on America's best networks. Why pay a whole lot when you can pay half? Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
We're playing great. That's all I care about. I want the whole team to play great. It's the next man up mentality.
How do you take this effort back to Staples Center for game five?
Keep being ourselves, keep playing hard, and trust one another.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also check me out on the ESPN app and Sirius XM Channel 80. How things changed this weekend in the NBA playoffs. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I'll just tell you one more thing, and then we can start talking sports. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. Now, the Clippers, reports of their demise were greatly exaggerated, and part of it is, and by the way, to me, this is the headline. Luka Doncic with a nerve issue in his neck? Is that degenerative? Is it like, I don't know, every time I've heard about a nerve issue in someone's neck, that's a symptom of a chronic condition. Like, you can treat it to alleviate the pain, but that's something usually people deal with for a long, from now on. To me, that's the biggest story. But just in so far as it has an impact on this series, Luka's clearly not the same player. Porzingis is never going to be the player likely I thought he could be. I thought he could be an MVP. When he was on the Knicks, he was a game changer defensively, and he was still a baby offensively and already a potent player. 7'3", take you off the dribble, shoot the three, block shots, do all kinds of stuff. But every year he gets hurt, and every year he spends the year trying to get back on the floor, back on the court, and get back to where he was the previous year. He can never make any progress because he's constantly physically rehabilitating just to get back to where he was. And right now, he's not even where he was, like last year this time, when he was dropping 35 before, of course, he got hurt. So Porzingis has not been effective. Luka's diminished in terms of his effectiveness. Meantime, Kawhi Leonard, everyone like, Kawhi is not, hey, I'm going to make everyone around me better. He's not a point forward or a point guard. He's a small forward or a shooting guard. He's a scoring two-way wing who can play some point forward, but it's not what he does naturally. But Kawhi, this dude is giving you 30-plus a night, hitting like 70% of his shots from the field and playing defense. Oh, by the way, Kawhi has twice been the best player on a championship team. That's why he has two finals MVPs for two different franchises. And the Clippers now, they go from they're about to get swept to they're about to do some sweeping. And I thought Ty Lue, at least, you know, they lost the first two, but could win four straight. And I thought Ty Lue had to make an adjustment in this series. He was getting out-coached. And the adjustment I thought he needed to make was put Rondo in. Look, when Rick Carlisle is there going, Rondo's calling out the plays before they happen, the Mavericks plays. You're like, okay, so why is Rondo getting 19, 20 minutes a game? And by the way, as usual, in those 19 or 20 minutes, it's playoff Rondo. He's totally excellent. And the adjustment he was going to have to make, Ty Lue, was stop burying Rondo's minutes in terms of the minutes, man. Get him up to 30 minutes a game. Start him. That's not the adjustment Ty Lue made. Ty Lue put Batum in, and Batum was absorbing a lot of minutes that the bigs were getting, like Zubac, and they ran out a small lineup. Morris was the tallest dude on the floor. Batum and Kawhi and Paul George and Reggie Jackson. See, I'd prefer Rondo in there instead of Reggie Jackson. And Morris, like, they had their way with the Mavs, and I don't see it getting better for the Mavs because of Luka's injury. This is the second year in a row. The Mavericks showed pretty clearly early on they were the better team, and then injury took its toll. And last year, injury to Porzingis knocked the Mavs out, and this year it looks like injury to Doncic is going to do the same. But the Clippers and the Mavs, for whatever reason, the Mavs are a bad matchup with them. But the Clippers, they work out the kinks now. They're going to be a lot. They are going to be tough to beat. This may be, I mean, can the Mavs get one? I don't know. And I think the Clippers smell blood right now. Lakers fans, the ultimate nightmare in L.A. is the Lakers don't advance, but the Clippers do. Now, I know, believe me, I understand. We'll be sitting there going, yeah, of course, because AD got hurt. Our guy got hurt, and on the other side, the Clippers, the guy they were playing against got hurt. Luka. But you know how bad it's going to be if Clippers fans get out of the first round. Clippers get out of the first round and the Lakers don't. Oh! And you know what we'll say. We'll tell the Clippers fans. I'm a Lakers fan. We'll tell the Clippers fans all types of stuff. Oh, you hung up another first round banner. Oh, you know, like, get back to me when you win one, let alone 17. But damn, that is a nightmare scenario. Especially since before the weekend it looked like here come the Lakers and there go the Clippers. Mike in Los Angeles, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, I'm a Vietnam combat vet, and I appreciate your recognition of what this day really means. So thank you so much.
No, thank you, Mike. No, this is not a day you got to thank anybody. Thank you, Mike.
No, but that's all right. Hey, listen, so all of a sudden now you're an orthopedic specialist, and you're the only guy that ever came up with the Batman and Robin theory on the NBA talent mixture to make it to the finals. Is that right?
Wait, Batman and Robin, what do you mean?
Well, you know, you what's the thing you say? The guys that win championships, you got to have, like, Kareem had Magic.
Yeah, but I see, that's the point, like, is it's not Robin. It's like Batman and Batman Jr. Like, it's got to be a dude almost as good. The guy's got to be on the same level as Batman. You can't be Giannis and Drew Holiday or Chris Middleton. It's got to be Giannis and a dude just like him. You know, so the Lakers, LeBron and AD, it fits that description. AD is an MVP caliber player when he's on the floor. And that, it's not that that's the only way to win, but 9 times out of 10, that's who wins.
No, you're right about that.
Yeah.
There you go. I know you're busy. Would you give me your predictions for the Eastern Western Conference championship games? Thanks, Mike.
The net, yeah, no doubt. And thank you, Mike, for your service, especially on this day. The Nets are going to beat the Sixers in the Eastern Conference Finals. Whew. It totally depends on AD's health. As of right now, because of AD's health, I'm going to take the Clippers out of the Western Conference, and they lose to the Nets. That would be my best guess right now. Tune in to Memorial Day baseball action as the Astros host the Red Sox. Coverage begins at 3:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app and on ESPN. That's 3:30 p.m. Eastern. By the way, this is like Lakers fans. Believe me, I'm a reformed Knicks fan. I know what this was once upon a time. Stephen A's been running around saying, you know, New York, stand up. Get out of here with that. Is it time for New York to sit down? I mean, New York's going to be standing up because of Brooklyn, because of the Nets. But the Knicks? Could you imagine, Lakers fans, to give you an idea what it's like, imagine if the Lakers had the love they have in L.A., which they've earned. But they have, be quiet, Raj, but they have the record of the Clippers. Imagine that. That's the Knicks. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance.
Swinging the ground ball softly, deep and short, and off the glove of Gleyber Torres. My goodness, into left field. Scoping to score. Over to third goes Haas, and down to second goes Victor Reyes. It has been a complete meltdown for the Yankees in all areas in this weekend series against the Tigers. Tigers have a 3-0 lead.
You don't see many big league teams play like the Yankees have played in this series.
97-1, the ticket in Detroit. It was a rough weekend for my New York Yankees. They got swept by the Tigers in Detroit for the first time in 21 years. That's this whole century, y'all. This MLB weekend recap is brought to you by Credit Karma. Visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Credit Karma money. Progress starts here.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Ray moves past Randle, and he lays it high off the glass and in. Oh, he went right by Julius Randle. That didn't work for the Knicks.
The last one he gets is going to be the toughest. We know they're going to probably be a little bit more physical, be more aggressive, pretty loud, pretty hostile.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also check me out on the ESPN app. Sirius XM Channel 80, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. Tom Thibodeau, after the Knicks lost to the Hawks in Atlanta, they're at game five in New York now, right? And this might be it, right? But after the loss in Atlanta, Tom Thibodeau was asked, is there any answer for Trae Young? Listen to Coach's response.
Yeah, when you have great players, you have a great player like that, you know, you got to guard him with your team. And anytime you put two on him, that means that someone's going to be open. And you got to make sure that you're moving on the flight of the ball. We have to have high hands. There's a number of things that are tied into that. And then we got to fly around and we got to be active. And if we do that and we challenge shots, you know, then our chances will be better. But, you know, it's just taking a look at the film, coming back, having a will, a determination, a fight, and be ready to go.
The issue with the Knicks is not defense. I mean, the Hawks are hard to defend, especially when they're, you know, Trae Young's playing like that. And they got guys who can shoot the ball and they have talent on that team, offensive talent. The issue is, and Stephen A. was talking about this on First Take and today, and everybody knows it. Look, Julius Randle was maybe should come in like fifth in MVP voting regular season this year, but that's why regular season voting is ridiculous. Like, why, when 2 months of the season are in the playoffs, why would, and those are the highest, by far most important leverage games, why would we vote on the meaningless regular season? If 2/3 of the teams in the league are playing after the regular season ends, we're not going to count the more important games? And as it got more important, what we see from Randle is he's a good player who cannot go right. He's only ever going to go left. We all know this. And whose shot he worked on, credit to him, and he became an outside threat. But as a number one scoring option, you're not going to get far in the playoffs when he sees real defensive attention. In fact, honestly, I don't think he should be a two scoring option. I think Julius Randle ideally is the number three scoring option on a championship team. But he's by far the Knicks number one. And who else is going to score on that team, really? Who's going to carry the load? R.J. Barrett is a not ready for prime time player yet. He's making improvements, but Derrick Rose, look, Derrick Rose is a sensational, almost generational talent. He won an MVP when he was 22. Type of dude when he was, you know, still in high school. Pros would drive to go see him play. He is next level, maybe the quickest guy ever. Right? People, Russell Westbrook's the fastest I've ever seen was a young Derrick Rose. That was a different kind of talent. So he's still even a shell of himself. Even the remains of Derrick Rose, still probably the best player on the team, really. Quickly's got guts. Like, it's a nice, scrappy little team, but this is a first round get bounced out by a lower seed style team. And Knicks fans were losing their mind. One solitary playoff win at home when the road team had already split on the road for them, had already taken home court from you, the lower seed, and one single win. New York was going crazy. But it's all going to be a distant memory because the Knicks are probably going to lose Game 5. If not, they'll lose Game 6. And then they're not going to win this series. And the Nets will continue to play and dominate. And the scary thing about Brooklyn, remember what happened in the regular season? Remember what happened in the regular season with Brooklyn where Harden gets there and they're like, oh my God, offensively it's going to be the greatest team of all time, but it's the worst defensive team of all time. Maybe by the end of the season the defense could be good enough, like a mid-pack defensive team, that it took them 2-3 weeks. Here's the crazy thing. Losing to Boston that one game probably helps the Nets. Because now it gives them a little more time to communicate defensively, to be connected defensively. And what do the Nets need? Because they've already done it 2-3 weeks early in the season. They need a week or two to get the defense back to at least okay. Oh, it's going to be impossible, and everyone's going to forget about the Knicks, and the Nets will set the league on fire. Are the Lakers done? Are the Lakers done, L.A.? I'm going to tell you why not so fast coming up. And then I'm going to get to your calls. 888-729-3776. That's 888-SAY-ESPN. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. That's right. I really am going to take calls, Raj. Don't you doubt it, but I'm going to prove you wrong. Right away, I'm going to take a call right off the start. Max Kellerman Show.
The Max Kellerman Show. The podcast.